at Kresge.org.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Laura. Normally in this time slot, we'd be playing the audio from Florida this week, but there was a technical problem and it did not record on Friday night. We're going to tell you about that in a moment. But we are going to talk about state and local politics with Barry Edwards, who's a local Democratic Party advisor. And we are going to really, I think, break some ice here. We're going to talk about what some political analysts are saying is happening in the Republican race for governor. It's really interesting. But first, two listener comments about last Friday's program. We played some audio from the first Republican gubernatorial debate that happened on Thursday night and got a bunch of phone calls during Friday's show. Here's what two listeners said after Friday's show.
I was just listening to the show. You know, the Republican debate, they're talking about how terrible things are in the state of Florida, but they're both in love with Rick Scott and what a great job he's done. They can't blame the other party, so they're blaming the air. Or maybe they'll blame us.
This is Teresa. I have a question for, I believe his name was Chuck, that called in and was singing the praises of Trump. Were you living in a coma under President Obama when all the right ever did was criticize him for everything he did? One member in Congress called him a liar. Ted Nugent said if he was reelected, he was going to either be dead or in jail. And they invited him to one of the State of the Union address. They criticized Michelle Obama for wearing a short sleeveless dress. They called him the N-word. They compared him to AIDS. You know, I'm sorry if you can't handle our side finally calling this guy out and maybe not saying nice things about him. I don't really care. You're a snowflake, and this is the way it's going to be. So suck it up, you snowflake.
A couple of comments that came in after Friday's Radioactivity show. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Normally in this time slot, we'd be playing the audio from a TV show called Florida This Week that I host. And last week, we had some technical problems on the show because the audio and video equipment inside WEDU studios wasn't working. It was hit by lightning. And so the show that we had planned on Friday was canceled. And it was going to be really a great program because we had two people drive in from Tallahassee and also a couple local political types were scheduled to be on the show. And we were going to talk about the Republican gubernatorial debate. We played some audio from it last Friday. We were going to talk about the impact of Justice Kennedy's resignation, the impact that was going to have on the U.S. Senate race here in Florida. We were talking about going to talk about civility in politics, and we're going to show some clips, including the clips of Attorney General Pam Bondi walking out of the Tampa Theater a little bit more than a week ago after she was being shouted at by some local activists, and also Governor Scott's decision on high-speed rail. He wants a rail system. He doesn't want federal money. He wants a private company called Brightline to build the rail system, but Brightline, as it turns out, is using public money. The people on the East Coast say it's unsafe, and it's not really high-speed rail. It's going to go slower than 120 miles an hour. So those are the topics that we were going to discuss. Unfortunately, we can't discuss them, but we are going to talk about some of these topics with my good friend Barry Edwards, who's a Democrat, a local political analyst. He's on the radio on 820 a.m. from time to time, and we're going to talk about some of the topics that we were unable to record on Friday night. And Barry, good to see you. Thanks for coming by and
thank you for having me
out here. So I want to, I kind of tease this. There's big news about the governor's race. But before we do that, let me ask you this: did you watch the gubernatorial debate last Thursday on Fox News between Adam Putnam and Ron DeSantis?
I did. And what was disgruntling as a self-professed, and I think most people view me as kind of a centrist, is how far the Republican Party has gone to the right. I mean, and how much they've embraced Donald Trump. I think that the debate showed that you cannot win the Republican nomination now and be anti-Trump.
Now, all the questions, I was really frustrated because I think the issues in Florida are things like water, transportation, low wages, the environment. I think those are the issues in Florida. The whole debate ended up being on Trump's nomination to the Supreme Court, about lots of questions about immigration, which I think is fair. I think it's, it intersects here in Florida. But then, so many questions about national policy that have really nothing to do with the governor's office, with the governor's position on abortion. Well, maybe a little bit, but the decision about who to nominate to the U.S. Supreme Court, that's completely out of the governor's hands. It was that question came up several times, and I don't know why the Fox News hosts were asking that question.
Well, unfortunately, all elections for both the right and the left are on both sides. Everybody tries to nationalize the elections now, and we can see this in our own Tampa Bay area. It hasn't happened in the Tampa municipal races yet. But last year, in the hotly contested race that Mayor Kreisman was reelected, his strategy was to nationalize the election because Rick Baker had been popular with African Americans, which is traditionally a Democratic base, even though it's a nonpartisan race. And by nationalizing and making the race on Trump versus anti-Trump, Kreisman was able to prevail and beat Baker by moving enough African Americans to his side by saying, if you vote for Rick Baker, he's going to support Donald Trump.
All right, so you're sure this fall election is going to be nationalized here in Florida? The questions about legislature, the questions about governor.
Well, the Democrats are certainly, the Democratic mantra is all about nationalizing the election. The Republican mantra, the Republican strategy, and I can, this is not from insider stuff. I mean, I do have inside information from both sides, but you can just watch what they actually pump out in the mail. The Republicans are all trying to localize it. If you look at the Senate races with Dana Young, with Jeff Brandis, with Ed Hooper down in Miami, all those races, they're localizing, making about local issues, that they're not about Trump. They're not about the national party. They're not about being Republicans. They're about being whatever the local person is. So the Republicans are trying to localize it. The Democrats are trying to nationalize it. The problem for us, the New York Times.
When you say us, you mean Democrats? Is that what
Democrat?
You're saying?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Right.
For Democrats, is that when you look at the entire country has gotten a bump from Trump. If you're a Democrat, from 6 to 15 points. The New York Times did an article about a month ago. The only state in the country that did not get a bump from Trump for the Democrats was Florida, and we had a flat bump. In fact, some of the rural special elections here, the Republicans actually performed better. Trump nationwide in the 538 averages was down about 10 points. So, in other words, his favorable rating versus his unfavorable, he was negative favorable by about 10 points. And Florida, as about 2 weeks ago, he was up by four, positive four. So Florida is much more conservative or Republican-leaning than we had hoped it would be.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. All right, so today, going on right now, Fox News host Sean Hannity and Congressman Matt Gaetz are touring Florida. So they were at Fort Myers at 10 o'clock this morning. They're going to be in Tampa at 2 o'clock this afternoon. This is Sean Hannity endorsing Ron DeSantis to be the next governor of Florida. And then they go to Pensacola this afternoon at 5:30. It's going to be a big deal. If you're a fan of Sean Hannity or a fan of Ron DeSantis, 2 o'clock at the Marriott Waterside Tampa, 700 South Florida Avenue in Tampa. So a big rally with the star of Fox News endorsing Ron DeSantis for the next governor of Florida. Now, up until a week ago, Adam Putnam was way ahead in the polls. He had an organization in all 67 counties. He's got a tremendous fundraising advantage. The only thing that DeSantis had up until a week ago was all his appearances on Fox News. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that that's true. Putnam is still up. I think that we haven't seen the bump yet from Trump. Most endorsements do not translate into more votes. And here's why. Number one, okay, so everybody who's listening to the show, is you're the hyperactive of all the activists. So if Barack Obama endorses Rick Kreisman, everybody knows about it. You guys know about it. But the bulk of people choose to do other things with their lives other than be informed and be politically active. So, you know, I have the least active life because that's all I do. So in order for that to impact, you have to know about the endorsement. Most Republicans yet do not know about the endorsement from Trump, and he's going to have to spend money on that. The people that are already supporting Ron DeSantis are those who watch Fox already.
Yeah, all right. We should say that DeSantis has already been endorsed by President Trump. It became a big issue during last Thursday night's debate on Fox. I think it really bothers Adam Putnam that he didn't, you know, that Trump got in this race. Republicans and Democrats are supposed to stay out of the primary and not endorse, at least Republican officials.
Well, that's been a tradition. But if we know anything about Donald Trump, and if you like him or don't like him, he doesn't follow historical norms. And here was another time he was interfering. And there's three or four congressmen that he likes a lot, Matt Gaetz being the one he thinks is the greatest congressman since sliced bread, and then the next being Ron DeSantis. So those are guys that are always saying that he's the best president and back everything he does, no matter how crazy it is at the time. So, even if you like Donald Trump, you got to say that sometimes he does stuff that's a little crazy. So he's just rewarding them with his support back. Now, it's dangerous for him because if they don't win, then it's going to show that he can't really move all of his Republican voters.
Okay, so one of the people who was going to be on my show on Friday night said that, and he's a longtime Republican analyst, he said that DeSantis is going to win the race for the Republican nomination for governor here in Florida. He's not here to defend himself, so I'm not going to out him.
Right.
But he says that basically what you looked at is you saw that DeSantis, in the debate, was beating up Adam Putnam on the issue of immigration. Immigration is perhaps the number one hot-button issue in the Republican primary. You've got DeSantis, who's on Fox News all the time, and you've got DeSantis, who now gets the endorsement of Sean Hannity. He's got the endorsement of Donald Trump. That's where the activist base is right now in the Republican Party. The Republican Party is no longer the Republican Party of Jeb Bush or the Republicans from 15 or 20 years ago. It's the Republican Party of Donald Trump. What he tells Republicans to do, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to vote for DeSantis, and DeSantis is going to be the party nominee.
Well, that's all, and I won't out him either. And I think that what they're hopeful, because if you're a Democrat, Adam Putnam is a daunting opponent, despite the little kerfuffle with the background checks, whether you think that's a big deal or not a big deal. Probably electorally, it's not a big deal. I mean, people that it's the big deal to are already voting against him. People that it's not a big deal are going to support him. DeSantis is a harder-edged right-wing Republican. So he's going to have less appeal in the middle. He's going to enrage Democrats more. It's hard to get upset at Adam Putnam. I mean, Adam Putnam, up until a year and a half ago when he said he was an NRA sellout, it was just difficult to get worked up because he wasn't very threatening. DeSantis is threatening to a lot of people because he doesn't share a lot of, you know, Democratic values, didn't share mainstream values. He's pretty far to the right. So I think that Democrats would prefer him. But the problem I still think is there's 58 days left before the election. We start voting in 3 weeks. Putnam's got about a 32 to 35 point average in the polls. DeSantis is about 15%. That's about 50%. They're all pretty solid. So there's half the vote that has to come in. Adam only needs to get a third of the undecideds. If a third of the undecideds break to him, he wins. DeSantis has to get two-thirds. I'd always rather only have to get one out of three than two out of three.
Yeah, but people change their minds, too. I mean,
most voters don't change their mind. I think once you make a decision, it's very hard to get you to move.
Really? So you don't think that the attacks on Putnam over immigration are going to hurt?
No, in fact, yeah. And Republican activist, he's got the activist vote. In the Democratic side, we call it a DEC, a Democratic Executive Committee. They call it the REC. And those guys, all the county chairs, all the state chairs, all the people that go to the Republican club meetings, those are all Adam Putnam guys. Because remember, Rick Scott gave him the gift of all gifts by selling the planes and the state planes. It used to be if you're ag commissioner, you lived in Tallahassee, you'd fly out twice a week to go to events. Well, then he sold them. So what Adam Putnam did with all the other three cabinet members is they got in a car and they drove around all week. So then instead of doing two or three events, Putnam's doing 20, 25 events. He said, well, that's the big state, 20 million people. You do that for 8 years, and you do it for 2,000 people a week for 8 years, you've touched several million Floridians, And that's just hard for somebody like DeSantis to come into. DeSantis' problem, why he is not going to win, is because he got in too late, and it's too late. Putnam's going to be the nominee, and we have a battle if you're a Democrat, because he's a tough competitor.
All right, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Now, you had dinner with DeSantis. I don't know if you can talk about this, but could you give us any takeaways from your dinner with DeSantis a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, we had him and one of the big Republican donors and his wife. They're very pleasant people, but they're almost too perfect. They're like the Stepford wives and Stepford husband. I mean, I'm looking for a flaw. Harvard, Yale, she's a world champion equestrian. I just don't know if they understand the plight of not the poor American, but the middle class American. And if you're very bright, it's like being a gifted athlete. If you're LeBron James, he probably doesn't understand that I went to Bay Vista every day for the whole summer to impress my father, and I still couldn't dunk.
All right, so what was the number one issue that DeSantis and his wife were concerned about?
Abortion.
How many times did it come up during the meal?
Multiple. And it was, and this is not to discount on either side partial birth abortion, but that's a very small number that we deal with. That is really more a political wedge issue rather than a public policy issue. And they seem very obsessed with abortion.
Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org.
But that's part of the right mantra. I mean, the abortions. And remember, if you're nationalizing the election, what is the one thing that Trump said he was going to do with the Supreme Court nominee? He said, if I get two or three appointments, I'm just going to take care of itself. We're going to get rid of Roe v. Wade. So I think that's all falls into that whole far Fox right wing mantra. And abortion is kind of one of the things that they think is a motivator. I think it's a motivator more on the other side.
You think women and other people concerned about choice are going to come out in the fall if this is the big issue in this election?
Right, and we already saw Olympia Snowe, the senator from the great senator from Maine, said she will not support a nominee who wants to overturn Roe v. Wade.
813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Robert in Lithia. Hi, Robert, you're on WMNF. What's your question or comment?
Good morning, guys. I'm really enjoying this conversation this morning. I was just going to mention, I'm a Republican, and I saw a commercial for DeSantis this morning, which I've not seen before, where he talks about, you know, these great comments by Donald Trump. And I think it could be a similar dynamic as when Jeb Bush started off strong in the presidential election, had all the insiders, had the money, the name recognition, and then, you know, this guy came in with kind of like a bold approach and upset the field. I think that could be a similar dynamic playing out with DeSantis, because if you see this commercial he runs by a friend to Ron DeSantis, it makes him seem like he's Donald Trump's, you know, favorite son. And I think in the Sunshine State, that's going to carry a lot of weight and could really change the dynamics of this race.
And Robert, as a Republican voter, how important is President Trump's endorsement? If you're voting for a candidate and President Trump endorses that candidate, how important is that to you to making up your mind?
I would say that after seeing the endorsement from Trump this morning, I will lean towards DeSantis. And prior to the commercial, I really wasn't following that closely. I would have voted for Putnam. But at this point, I would go with DeSantis. So for me personally, and I think a lot of my fellow Republicans, Trump coming down, especially if he does a couple of rallies for DeSantis, don't know if he'll be that, you know, involved in the primary. But I don't know. I think DeSantis is in a pretty strong position now with where the current Republican Party base is, and with where the mood of the Republican Party is.
All right, Robert, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks.
I agree with our caller on some things. I think that Donald Trump is a big deal in the Republican Party, no doubt. But the problem is, and here's the difference between the presidential election. The presidential election, Trump just had staying power. Everybody attacked each other. Jeb came in with a lot of money, and we had kind of the elites. But here's not the elites. Putnam's not the elite. His guy is that he's had a house party in every precinct in the state of Florida.
But if you watch that debate last Thursday night, the way that DeSantis attacked Putnam was that he was attacking him over the big donations from sugar growers and others and agribusiness, And DeSantis, throughout that debate Thursday night, kept trying to paint Putnam as a tool of big agribusiness. So you talk about elites. DeSantis was tying him right there to elites.
Well, I don't think, and I've never found, and Martin Dyckman was a great writer for the Tampa Bay Times years ago, a deputy editor of their editorials. And the Times used to publish a list of all the donations in the paper to candidates. And this is when we had 10% of the money in the process that we do now. And I asked him why they quit. He said, nobody cares. And I just don't believe that if you're in Pinellas County, or if you're in Palm Beach County, you certainly care because sugar is a big economic driver over there, or in Broward County. But I think if you're elsewhere in the state, I just don't think people care where your money is. Everybody knows that there's a lot of money in the process, and DeSantis is getting millions of dollars from billionaires too. So I think everybody thinks that everybody's equally corrupt and tainted and owned by some big billionaire.
Well, one of the ads, Robert mentioned a new ad. There's another new ad out in favor of DeSantis. It's by a third party, and it shows all the pollution coming out of Lake Okeechobee, polluting Charlotte Harbor and then polluting Martin County. And they're tying the pollution to the sugar industry, saying the sugar industry doesn't want this polluted water to come out to the fields, the sugarcane field just south of Lake Okeechobee. So they're forcing the pollution on the residents on the East Coast and the West Coast, and they're saying that Putnam is responsible for this pollution. I mean, it's a powerful commercial.
Right, I think that's a little bit of an overreach.
Well, maybe, but it's a powerful commercial. So if you're in the fishing industry, or if you're in the hospitality industry, or you own a motel, or you've got a house down there in Naples, and this pollution is polluting.
Oh, and we're getting algae blooms again.
Exactly, right now.
But one of the reasons we ought to blame it on is Richard Corcoran. We had a deal. Well, I mean, facts are facts.
Yeah, exactly, the ad is trying to attack Putnam. No, right. I'm with you on the rest of it. I just think the ad is powerful.
No, I think they're going to have a lot. Like I said, if this race was 60 days longer, I would say Ron DeSantis was going to be the nominee. But we have 58 days. Remember, the primary is August 29th, and voting, the ballots, overseas ballots go out in about 2 weeks, and then the regular ballots go out in 3 weeks. And that means in 4 weeks, 50% of the votes are cast.
Well, my friend Barry Edwards is here. He's a political analyst, and he's on WMNF. Our phone number, 88.5 FM, and here's our phone number, 813-239-9663. And you can email a comment into us. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. I just went to the Real Clear Politics website. The last poll in the governor's race that they cite was Fox News.
32-17.
Exactly. The one that you quoted earlier, Putnam up by 15, and that was June 15th. So Putnam up by 15, and the average, Real Clear Politics average, is Putnam up by 7. Well, we'll find out with the next poll whether or not anything is going in DeSantis's direction.
Right, because he'll have time to communicate. I think what's even more interesting, the most interesting poll to me was, I'm going to attack both, so don't get mad at me. Both Senator Nelson and Governor Scott. I'm not going to say that they're not concerned about Puerto Ricans and blah blah blah. But you notice that no other senator in the world is going down to Puerto Rico, or governor going down to Puerto Rico, other than our two governors. And why is that? Because we have 1,000,000 people that are Puerto Rican or Puerto Rican heritage in the state of Florida. So it's not for the new Puerto Ricans that we think might have come here from Irma. It's because of the Puerto Ricans that were already here.
Let me ask you about those new Puerto Ricans. Are they going to vote? Are they going to sign up and vote?
Well, the big problem is the New York Times, and I think the Tampa Bay Times did some articles about that. Most of the Puerto Ricans that came have gone back. So the number of people, and this is a month old, so 5-6 weeks old now, there were 9,738 that had registered. So pretty insignificant. And I even did a little study, went county by county with the driver's license bureaus which is through the tax collectors and the school boards and things like that, to see what we signed up. But the voter registration was under 10,000. So those will vote. Yes, absolutely. But it's a small number. And the big thing is the million Puerto Ricans that are already here.
How will they vote?
Well, that's what's interesting. They should vote Democratic, but Rick Scott, and it's always the advantage to the governor. The last time we had an incumbent governor running against an incumbent U.S. senator was 1986, And it was Bob Graham versus Paula Hawkins, the housewife from Maitland. And she was a nice lady, but Bob Graham was extraordinary. And I remember being with him on election night with Lawton Childs in Century Village Boca Raton area. And Lawton Childs got up, you know, tomorrow Bob Graham's going to lose. And everybody went, boo, it was 5,000, 10,000 New York, New Jersey Jews in there. He said, he's going to lose. And then booed again. He said, he's going to lose the mansion. He's going to lose the security. He's going to lose the laundry service. But I'm going to gain the budget chairmanship of the U.S. Senate. And Bob Graham did go on to win. And we did gain, and Lawton Childs became the budget chair on the United States Senate. So that was exciting times. But governors have an advantage that they're always in the paper. A governor has several times the press opportunities that a senator does. So he's gone down to Puerto Rico, and he's also able to, you know, call corporations, and he just has a lot more resources at his fingertips. He had a 20-point higher favorable rating amongst Puerto Ricans than Bill Nelson. So, and I'm not questioning either of their motivations. I think they're both good people. I disagree with Governor Scott more than I disagree with Bill Nelson. But it does seem odd that they're really spending all this time on Puerto Rico for a governor and a senator from the state of Florida.
Let's go to Dan in Tampa. Dan, you're on. We're talking about politics here on WMNF. What's your comment or question?
Well, when I hear Barry talking about Putnam getting in there and probably being the candidate on the other side, wouldn't it be pretty easy for someone like, say, Philip Levine, who's not been a politician his whole life, to be coming out against somebody, I guess, that's come out of basically high school almost and has been a politician his whole life?
Well, I think that's one of the things they're going to do. They're going to paint him as a career politician. But you got to be...
Paint him as one? Is he one or not?
Well, I think he is, but here's the problem. The top of our ticket, there's going to be a lot of pressure from Democratic donors not to be using that, because who's been in office for 42 years, I think, Bill Nelson. And, if you're a federal donor, you don't care about the governor's race. But if you're a big state donor, you don't want to lose what we already got. And Bill Nelson, the last 23 statewide races in Florida, the Democrats have only won four. One was by Alex Sink. The other three were by Bill Nelson. So I think if you start painting Adam Putnam as a career politician, then...
Well, somebody's going to do... They're already doing that to Nelson. So why wouldn't you do that? They're already doing that.
I think we're good,
So, I mean, that's irrelevant. They're already doing that to Bill Nelson. So you may as well play the same damn game.
Right. The only thing also, I think they should, and because he actually got elected at 22 to the Florida House, and he actually ran against one of my friends. I was at a dinner. I remember I've been around a long time. And he says, we need to have a new generation. I said, but your friend who's, you're running against your fraternity brother, he's only 28 years old. It's a lot like he's old and washed up. So Putnam ran that we needed a new generation of leadership at 22. Then he got elected to Congress, and then he's been ag commissioner. But he is only 44 years old. It's a little harder sell, I think.
I think to Dan's point, isn't Rick Scott really hurting Adam Putnam by campaigning against a career politician? Because Putnam's been a career politician since the age of 22. He's never had an outside job, although
right.
He claims he's a farmer and a rancher. Well, we don't know when that happened.
Right.
So isn't Scott hurting his fellow Republican Putnam?
I agree with the concept. I just think because to this point, and remember, all of the opponents... Jack LaValle, before he got out, spent most of his money and time attacking Adam Putnam for being a career politician. I think the problem with it sticking with the average voter is that Putnam's 44 years old and looks like Opie. If he was older, I think he could make it work. I just think but I think that Putnam has been able to handle it because of his age and his demeanor and his look. And it's a bit hard to sell. I think we need to try it, but I don't know. I don't think that's going to be what wins or loses the election for us.
One other point, though. You were talking about, you know, Lake Okeechobee and the Al Jaber and all that. I want to bring up one point here. Right before the last major algae break happened down there, I think it was about 2013 or 14, maybe, somewhere in that time frame. Right before that time frame, Adam Putnam introduced legislation as the Ag Commissioner to allow farmers and all the sugar farmers and that not to tell us how many tons of fertilizer and pesticides they were going to put down on their crops. Right now they have to report how many tons or of what they're putting out this year on their crops. He tried to eliminate that, but then the algae outbreak happened, and he pulled it back.
Mm. Well, that would be, I mean, if that's true, then that would be the perfect ad for DeSantis.
I know it's true.
Well, I'm not doubting you, but, you know, I got to fact check that too, Dan.
Okay,
but I will fact check it. I will fact check it.
And one of the things that over there where people are much more cognizant of because of the pollution is the more than the fertilizer, phosphate was the biggest thing, and we've gotten that out of the fertilizers, we got that out of the runoff, is the septic tank leakage in that area of the state. And they know it's from septic tanks because you can actually isotope these things. And not stevia, what's that yellow package? Sweetener. If they find that in the water, and the only place it comes from is people, and our bodies don't process it, so it goes in your septic tanks and it leaches out. So we have a real problem over there, and we have a lot of septic tank leakage that needs to be put on.
There's some
to a sewer
of that,
system.
But there is no way in God's name is it polluting Lake Okeechobee like that. Not that many people live around Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah. All right, Dan, thanks a lot.
It's a farm area. Have you been there?
I have.
And on farms, there's not a lot of housing around that particular lake.
Yeah, well, it is the runoff from the area around Orlando and Kissimmee, and a lot of that, I think, is fertilizer, is phosphate fertilizer,
right,
even though it's banned in the summertime. Dan, thanks a lot. Thanks for a great phone call. 813-239-9663. Chris writes this, Trump is unstoppable. That's from one of our regular Republican emailers. Chris, thank you for that. And Ben writes this, last week I changed affiliation to vote for DeSantis in the primary. Putnam is as establishment as Jeb Bush and will be open borders on immigration when the issue is addressed. That's that's Ben, who's one of a person that supported the Spencer speech in Gainesville a few months ago.
I mean, the immigration is such a faux issue. Under President
Obama. That is a fire-up issue. You know, I'll tell you, that is why Joe Gruter's in Sarasota, the chair of the Republican Party down there, now I think in the legislature. Gruter's didn't endorse Marco Rubio or any of the big-name Republicans who were running for president because he disagreed with their position on immigration. He thought, as a Republican activist, that immigration was the hot-button issue in the Republican primary.
Well, it is a hot-button issue, but it shouldn't.
Under
President Obama, 2.5 million, and we made fun of Mitt Romney, but the quote actually is accurate, 2.5 million Mexican immigrants here illegally went back to Mexico.
They were deported.
Well, no, they self-deported. They actually went back on their own.
But also President Obama deported a record number of people.
Yeah. But, and to be fair with President Obama, he gets criticism for that, and I guess he deserves some of the criticism because he said a lot of those were what they call turnbacks. And he actually did deport more, but a lot of those that we counted as at deportations were turned back at the border where they turned you around, which is what we used to do, which is, I don't know why President Trump doesn't do this. If you catch him, just dump them back on the other side of the border and be done with it. Keep the family together. We don't have to house them. We don't have to do all that stuff. But he made it complicated.
Let me ask you about turnout. What do you think? The primary is August 28th. Early voting is going to start. Early voting is going to start in about a month. What do you think the turnout is going to be in the primary for the Republicans and the Democrats?
Small.
Like 20-25%?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it's just, there's no indication that anybody's more ginned up. And we've seen with specials, when you go, as time has gone on, the election, the bigger the election, the more back to the norm it is. And we saw polls today that showed Jeff Brandis with like a 6-point lead in his state Senate race. Everything's coming back to the structure. Jeff Brandis's district, the Republicans should win by about 7 points. In the Jack LaValle seat, Ed Hooper's up by 2-3 points. That Republican should win by 9 points. So he's starting to come back. But the big one was Dana Young, who had been up by 10 points, is now down by one. And that's because
she's running against the Democrat Janet Cruz.
Cruz, that district should, the performance based on history of the voters in that district, all the voters in that district, the Democrats should win by about 3 points. And so everything's going back to the norm as we get closer. With tomorrow is 4 months before the election.
So you're saying that Democrats aren't energized this time?
No, they are energized. Yeah. Democrats are energized, but so are Republicans. The Republicans, you know, if they could have... if they were doing a rock opera or a play that they wanted to get an Oscar for, they would have had at 4 months and 2 days before the election, the swing vote of the Supreme Court resign and announces retirement, so that Trump could get a replacement. And conservatives, the judiciary is more important, and I'm not saying it's not important to liberals, but it's a more energizing base historically to conservative and Republicans than it has been to Democrats. And that's just going the past. I'm not saying what it's going to be in the future, because we don't know about the future, but the past is energized Republicans to come out more, and it's a more salient issue in their campaign. And that's why Olympia Snow and Lisa Murkowski Snow has done a press conference after she met with President Trump that she would not support somebody who overturns Roe v. Wade.
So the motivation then is that the Republicans would have this hanging over the November election. If they're able to stop the first nominee,
if the Democrats are able to stop the first nominee,
then this would become a factor to energize the Republicans in November. Is that what you're saying?
Well, because remember the vote on this will probably be in September.
Yeah, but what if somehow the Democrats are able to stop it?
Well, the Democrats are irrelevant in this, and I'm not being mean or pejorative. There's 51 Republican senators.
Well, the Democrats plus two Republicans.
Right, we know the Democrats are going to vote against it.
Right.
Okay. Now, and then I should say, oh, Barry, you might be wrong, and Barry, you are wrong, because this is really boxed in a lot of the swing state.
Like Joe Manchin in West Virginia, the Democrats?
Absolutely. Because if you're in a state that Trump carried by 10 or 15 points and you vote against this, this could mean you lose your Senate seat. Bill Nelson is really boxed in. This is a huge deal for him. If he votes against this, all the swing moderate conservatives in the panhandle are going to vote against him.
So it's energizing those people.
Absolutely.
If he votes against the nomination.
Right.
All right. Getting back to turnout, I saw this quote by Susan McManus. I don't have it in front of me, but the professor from USF in Tampa, she said in elections, 85% of Republicans are reliable kind of super voters.
Right.
And 75% of Democrats are reliable super voters. That there are more super voters among the Republican side than there are on the Democratic side. These are people that vote in every election.
Yeah, I think that's true. But at the end of the day, 91% of Republicans are going to vote for Republicans, and they have a little advantage in Florida. There's about a 4% turnout advantage historically in Florida for the Republican over the Democrat. And then when you said we have a lot of independents, that's true. But as we talked about on the show before, independents lean one way or the other.
Which way do independents lean here in Florida?
About 42%. Toward Republican, about 36% Democrat, and the rest are swing voters. So about a quarter of independents are swing voters, roughly 5% of the total electorate.
Okay, so based on that, do you give Rick Scott the edge in the U.S. Senate race over Bill Nelson?
I think right now you'd have to, because he's consistently polling better. He's got a higher favorables amongst Puerto Ricans. But that race is so close that it's really about the campaigns that the two of them run. And as I've said before, politics, I mean, nobody wants to hear this, but about 70% of how an election turns out is due to the district. In Florida, the whole state is the district. And so the state, in a midterm, the Republican has about a 3-4 point advantage. Then the second thing is the national mood. The national mood wildly favors the Democrat. I mean, so because Donald Trump is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, even if you like Donald Trump's policies, you wish he would go about them a lot differently, because he's a hyperbolizer. And so that's about 70% the district, 20% the national mood, and the final 10% the candidates. And so there, when you're having a 1% margin, 2% margin of the race, which is this going to be, remember, the last two governor's races, about 1%. The last two presidentials before Trump, about 1%. Obama barely won. Scott barely won. There was all, and Obama's margin declined by about 3/4 of a point. From 08 to 12. So it's going to be close, and it's going to come down to how the two of them do the next 4 months. And it's also going to come down to, and they're all joined together. If DeSantis is the governor's nominee, I think that's going to help Nelson. If it's Adam Putnam, it's going to help Scott, because I think just Adam Putnam's more appealing. So they're all moved together. But I think that at the end of the day, if Donald Trump loses his phone, Republicans are going to have a good night. If Donald Trump is up at 3 a.m. tweeting, the Democrats are going to have an awesome night.
We're going to take some more phone calls in just a moment. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Barry Edwards, a Democrat and a local political strategist, is with me for the hour. And 813 Anonymous writes, are there any prominent politicians who are actually pushing for open borders, or is that all just more brainwashing from the right wing?
I haven't seen... I know that the right has attacked the left for saying that they want open borders. I haven't actually gone through yet and seen. I doubt if many mainstream, I'm talking about mainstream elected Democratic congressional or Senate candidates would be for open borders. I think that's just too dicey in this environment.
Yeah, I have not seen anybody say they want open borders who's running for office or in office. Let's go to Gary in Sarasota. Gary, you're on. What's your comment?
Well, I had a question about Governor Scott. I'm a Republican. I did vote for him, but I had heard a tidbit of news that after the hurricane, and I just wonder why it hasn't come out, because if it's true, it's very upsetting, where we had all the contracts for cleanup, and then he wound up hiring somebody without even asking for bids and dismissed the people that were already set up to do it and paid them as much as three times more than they should have. Is there any truth to that story?
There is truth to that story, and they did have no competitive bids.
I mean, I support the guy, but man, that's bad business.
Now, one of the problems, and we had the problem here in Pinellas County in St. Petersburg, and I view it like gouging. There was only so many people that had the capabilities to clean up the debris, and they really screwed the people of Florida and the state of Florida. Now, the governor will claim that that was the best he could do. The opposition said that he could have done better and that they should have had fairer contracts. A lot of apparently the contracts that were in place, they didn't have the capability because of the overwhelming. And also, they were paying more in South Florida than they were here. That's why it took longer in Tampa Bay, is the South Florida people were paying a higher premium. So, but
I had read that it was already in place. The company did have the capacity to do it, and then he wound up giving it to somebody else for three times, four times the amount of cost per item. I mean, to a point where they're picking up old refrigerators for $250 a piece instead of the $25 that was already set up, and the company that did, the guy's a multi-millionaire, he was set up for it.
Gary, I looked up the story. In fact, it's on the Miami Herald website. Jim DeFeed from CBS 4 in Miami did a story. Headline is Millions of Dollars of Wasteful Spending, a Look at Governor's Post-Irma Debris Deals, and he points out that the cleanup was supposed to cost about $2 million under the contracts. It cost cost Florida taxpayers $28 million more than that, according to an analysis.
It's terrible. Why set up a contract if you're not going to use it? I mean, and it's not like he's not a businessman. I mean, he knows. So I just wonder where the motivation was with him with that. And at the same time, I'd like to see somebody get elected. If he's going to get elected into the Senate, I just don't want a scandal behind it as soon as we get started. I'm just tired of having politicians get in and all of a sudden there's a scandal. Then the big investigation. Geez, nobody gets anything done.
No, I agree with it, and that is going to be an issue that is brought up, and I think Nelson is going to bound on.
All right, I'm a conservative, voted for Trump, love the show, love the ideas, thanks.
All right, thanks, Gary. Thanks for your phone call, 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org, and thanks to Frank Knox, he's our phone producer today. We're going to go back to the phones, we're going to go to Miles in Sarasota. Miles, thanks for calling in. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Rob, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Adam Putnam, I used to live in Winter Haven. My parents owned a hotel over in the Orlando area for a long time. You know, I'm about 57. This is like the mid or late 80s, I believe. And he was really gung-ho for the orange business, which they were some of the most corrupt people I've ever met in my life. A friend of mine, his father owned like 1,000 acres in Central Florida of oranges. And he wouldn't even deal with his father because the way he treated the help and all this stuff. So he's like Buchanan over here in Sarasota. He is a corporate guy, you know. And they're gonna back him up because I guess that's what they think is gonna, you know, make him a lot of money. I guess I don't know, but it's wrong. This guy over there in Central Florida was a real gem, you know. To put him in office is insane. I think that's just my opinion, you know.
All right.
And I was just looking here. The seats that potentially the Democrats are gonna have a hard time are Manchin from West Virginia, Heitkamp from North Dakota, McCaskill from Missouri, Donnelly from Indiana, and Nelson. those seats where, other than Nelson, Trump won double digits. Those Democrats are really in an awkward position. Do they risk losing the swing voters in their state? Remember, a swing voter in your state does not necessarily mean you're liberal or conservative. I know that, like in the U.S. congressional race with Bill Nelson, with David Jolly and Alex Sink, the left criticized him for being pro-life, but in that district, that was the norm to position. It's 55-60% of the people in that congressional district, as it was drawn, were pro-life. Alex Sink being for abortion in the third trimester was a radical position to that district. So the swing voters in four of those states, you know, may go with the Republican, and even though they like the current senator, because they think that they're not supporting positions that they like with the Supreme Court. So this Supreme Court really, really has pickled, has complicated the math for a lot of these guys.
But it's pretty heavy Republican going north of Miami, you know.
Well, West Palm, Broward,
those are
pretty good Democratic places.
Yeah.
Once you get up to Brevard, north of that, then it turns Republican.
Right, it does. It's like the middle of the state and up. You know, from the west to the east, it seems like, you know. So.
All right, okay, Miles, guys. Thanks a lot. So, Barry, I want to ask you about fundraising for legislative seats. Do the Republicans again have a pretty clear advantage for the House seats that are up and the Senate seats that are up?
Well, it's interesting. I don't remember whether it was New York Times or Wall Street Journal did an article. All of the U.S. Senate seats that are competitive.
I'm talking about Florida House, Florida Senate.
Well, you're
bringing it around
in the country. The Democrat had at least a 30-40% advantage, sometimes 2-1, 3-1. The one U.S. Senate seat in the country where the Democrat was not outraising the incumbent, the Republican challenger, was Florida. So nationwide, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, whether you like them or not as a Democrat or progressives, they are the best fundraisers, and money does matter in politics. Florida, on the other hand, we don't get outraised, or we don't outraise the Republicans. They outraise us massively, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. It's almost sinful, and they're doing it again. I mean, look at Adam Putnam. I think he's raised, what, $30 million?
Yeah, something like that.
But in the legislative races, you can see across the board, the Senate victory under Bill Galvano, you know, with all their little committees that they have affiliated in PACs, probably have $20 million, and we have probably $2 million. So, I mean, there's a major disadvantage, and that's because we haven't won. Once we win, and I know this, well, once we win, that's easy, Barry, right? Once we win, that'll turn around. But people bet on the future, but they use the past as a marker. And if you said you're going to win and get closer to a majority four or five cycles in a row and you don't, then people just don't give you money. So we need to have one good cycle, and it'll help a lot. So hopefully this will be the cycle. And then because if we can get through this cycle and gain a couple seats in the Senate, we should gain the Dana Young seat now. I mean, it looks like that seat is trending toward the Democrat. There's a seat down in Miami. Manny Diaz is running for it against a new firefighter that I haven't met yet. If we gain those two, that's 22-18. That's a whole new world in Tallahassee. Well, you're still in the minority, Barry. That's true. But 22-18 means you need to get two Republicans in the Senate to vote against their party, and it's dead because you don't have to win. You just need to be able to kill stuff and stop stuff. So it would be a whole new world in Tallahassee, and the fundraising for the Democrats in the Senate after that would probably quadruple.
Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. We're talking about state and local politics with Barry Edwards, who's a local political Democratic strategist. And just some of the big news, though, Sean Hannity, the Fox News host, is traveling the state today with Congressman Matt Gaetz. They'll be joining Ron DeSantis today for endorsement of Sean Hannity of Ron DeSantis' campaign for governor. The event comes to Tampa at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Marriott Waterside Tampa in downtown Tampa from 2 to 3:30.
That reminds me of the scene in Casablanca where Inspector Renault, the chief of police, shuts down said, I'm shutting this cafe down. And Rick Humphrey Bogart comes up and says, on what charge? And he says, I'm shocked there's gambling going on. And then he gets handed money. I'm shocked that Sean Hannity, probably the biggest anchor on Fox News, is endorsing one of his favorite guests, Ron DeSantis. I mean, Ron DeSantis, if it wasn't for Fox, would be at 1%. You and I would have higher votes in the Republican primary.
But we're getting all these emails from conservatives who are saying that they're going to vote for DeSantis.
Well, right, but I think those are the Fox voters already. It'll be interesting to see if this moves beyond. If you watch Fox and you like Fox and you like the people on there, you like DeSantis already. Obviously.
But isn't that more important these days in the Republican Party than anything else? Fox News?
It may be the largest single thing, but being in office and working in the state of Florida and going to the Polk County Women's Republican Club on Sunday and then coming to Safety Harbor.
But if turnout is going to be 20% or 25%, it's a tiny turnout. I mean,
right,
you
and
don't
those
need
are the
to
people,
motivate that many people.
Right, because if you've gone for 8 years to every... Remember, Adam Putnam has spoke at every single...
He has.
REC meeting. Or I think they call them Reagan Day dinners.
What he's got to count on is every one of those people shows up at the polls that he shook hands with. And DeSantis is reaching hundreds times more people than that on Fox News.
Right, he's got those, but he's already got that. He's been on Fox forever, and he's at 15%. Now he's got Trump.
We haven't seen the polls since the debate.
I think that was like a Fox News infomercial.
It was a beautiful thing if you're a Trump supporter.
But those people are already with him. And 50% of the people
know they're with him until now. Now they've found out. As of Thursday night, they found out. Trump endorsed him. And that according to DeSantis, I don't think this is exactly fair, but that Putnam is soft on immigration.
Well, and like you said... Even if he was soft on immigration, the Florida border is not his responsibility to defend. We have the Coast Guard that defends us people coming from Haiti.
What I don't get, Barry, is that we had hundreds of thousands of people come here over the years from Cuba, and because they eventually turned into Republican voters, nobody complained about Cuban refugees coming into the U.S. Our borders were open back then
in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And Haitians. We had Haitians coming here.
Well, yeah, but they were escaping, you know, either political dictatorship and certainly people in Cuba were complaining about the government. But also the hurricane. So the Haitians were escaping the hurricane.
Remember, the biggest influx of Cubans was the Mariel boat lift.
Right, and that was under President Carter, and that was open borders, and those people eventually became Republican voters, and they got a heavy subsidy from our federal government, unlike the current refugees, and nobody complained about Cubans coming over, and eventually becoming
Republican
voters.
Well, some people did complain, but the Republicans shouted us down. One of the outrageous things was if you got here on the wet foot, dry foot, if you touched soil, you got to stay, but also then you got a check.
That's right. And what we got a heavy subsidy if you're a Cuban refugee.
And one of the things that Marco Rubio had to defend and why he wanted to shut it off is the Republican mantra is that Cuba's so bad. Well, I've been to Cuba several times and it's not that bad. Now, it's not free. And one of the reasons why their economic system is impoverished because of the embargo. But Cubans were coming here, establishing residency, getting their check from the government, and then they were going back to Cuba because that whatever $1,000 a month that we send them goes a lot farther in Havana or Mariel. And if it was all that bad, why would you come here, get your check, and go back? You wouldn't. So it was undermining their entire argument, which is why Rubio and some of the other Cuban leaders wanted to shut all those things down because it was embarrassing. They were having to explain why 80-90% of the Cubans coming here were coming back. You know, it's just outrageous. So
I'm surprised there's no mention of the Cuban Readjustment Act in this campaign and in this debate about refugees. Nobody's brought it up. Hey, Barry, so the bottom line is my TV show was canceled on Friday night because of a lightning strike. You came in to rescue the show today. Thanks a lot for coming by.
You're welcome.
But you still think Adam Putnam is going to be the Republican nominee, and you don't think that DeSantis is coming on strong.
I do think he's coming on strong, but I think it's too little too late. I think he's coming far. I think when you've got 50% undecided and one guy's at 35% and you need 15% of 50, it means you need 30%. He needs less than a third. I'd always rather be there hanging on than the guy that needs to get 70% plus one.
Okay, so I bet you a beer at our favorite hangout that I bet DeSantis is going to be the nominee.
Well, I bet you I'm going to up it to a beer and four potato skins because I know you don't.
Okay, I don't eat potato skins. But Barry, thanks a lot for coming by. It's great to see you.
Thank you. It's been fun.
All right. Anything else you want to say before we go? We just have 30 seconds left.
Guys, don't forget to vote. I mean, this primary is so important. And don't get mad if your candidate doesn't make the nomination. Remember, your candidate for either party is always better for you than the guy in the other party.
Very interesting. Well, Barry Edwards, thanks a lot. Barry is a Democratic political strategist, and you can hear him on 820 AM and also see him on my TV show, Florida This Week, sometimes. When's the next time you're going to be on?
The third week in July.
All right, good. And thanks a lot for listening. This is WMNF in Tampa. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for Sean Canaan. He's coming up next on the Midpoint program, and on Midpoint, he'll have some of the highlights of the immigration rally that took place in downtown Tampa on Saturday, where more than 3,000 people attended in what turned out to be inclement weather. This is WMNF, Tampa-St. Petersburg. Thanks to Frank Knox. Here's the latest news.